Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A mother wrote, "When my daughter Dana was about 3 years old, she became fascinated with electrical outlets. One of her favorite activities was working the childproof cover off the outlet and sticking various objects into it. I was not thrilled with this little game of hers. Repeatedly taking her to the outlet and firmly warning, no, no, it'll hurt you. She would then look up with her beautiful green eyes and dimpled smile, and all would be okay. Well, after several trips to the outlet, I thought, she's got it. And she did, for 2 whole days. I was putting groceries away when I heard her scream from the family room. By the time I reached her, I found a sobbing toddler holding up a tiny burned finger for me to kiss and make better. Even at a young age, Dana had required a nugget of wisdom, and she has never touched an outlet again. When we give in to temptation, the result is always sin. Attached to that sin is always the price tag of consequences. Every choice we make, every action we take has consequences. Like Dana, who acquired a nugget of wisdom, we can learn from these consequences. Hear the message assigned to them and gain the wisdom that they hold. Temptation, sin, consequences are the ideas found in our gospel lesson this morning. The story of Jesus in the wilderness as he fasted for 40 days, then tempted by the devil. We'll take a closer look at each of these, but we begin with verse 1. Take note. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Jesus knew he was going to be tempted, but not how. Temptation is all around us. We are tempted each day, as that little girl in our opening story proved. She stayed away from the light socket for 2 days, but the temptation returned was just too great. A pastor wrote in a sermon, "I think now is a good time for us to understand the biblical meaning of the word temptation. It means to test or to prove." Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested or to prove. He was to be tested by the devil as a means of proving himself to God. By way of illustration, a blacksmith does the same thing. He puts soft metal into the fire and repeatedly heats it up, takes his hammer and beats the old loose metal off, places the hot metal in the water to cool the metal, and then repeats the process until the piece of metal is in the shape and hardness desired. When the object is finally removed from the fire and quenched for the last time, it is pure and solid and hard as steel. Temptation is the process of testing us to see if we are real, if we are for real. It is a battle between the spirit and the flesh, and the results indicate if we are closer to heaven or closer to earth. Temptation in our life is necessary. But always remember, temptation is not there to weaken us, but to make us stronger. Temptation is not there to make us bad, but to make us better. Temptation is not a penalty, but a privilege to prove ourselves to God. Temptation strengthens us to accomplish God's specific purpose in our lives. James 1 tells us this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Jesus was tempted on purpose to prove his faith. We are tempted so that our faith might be made stronger. When I was growing up, I participated in sports. From third grade on, I loved to play basketball. I was that kid who would walk around dribbling the basketball, much like my grandson walks around with his drumsticks. Where I went, the basketball would go. It didn't matter. I especially loved the workouts, as it daily tested my ability to perform, making me the best that I could be. High school, working out, morning, night. College, morning, afternoon, night. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I loved being tested to get better. Our text continues after Jesus had fasted for 40 days, and the devil comes to him with the first of three temptations, saying, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." That doesn't sound so evil. Making bread to eat? Making bread not just for himself, but for all the hungry of the world? That's not so bad, is it? The devil wanted Jesus to upset the order of creation. Now, Jesus did that when he healed people, or when he fed the 5,000 with a loaf of bread and two fish. But this was not a necessary thing to do. The devil was tempting Jesus to take the easy road, to work outside the natural order of things, to become a hero to all the starving people. But Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Like all the miracles Jesus performed, there is more to living than this simple miracle. We are to live by the word of God, and that word tells each of us to reach out and help our neighbor. We are to feed the hungry. We are to clothe the naked. We are to visit those in prison, to be salt and light in the brokenness of our world. The second temptation was for Jesus to jump off the temple wall, and the angels would catch him. The text reads, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Again, that temptation does not sound like much of a temptation. Fall down, Jesus, and you will not get hurt. The angels will save you. A pastor that I grew up with used to explain the second temptation like this. The second temptation is the temptation to be irresponsible and let God pick up the pieces from your dumb decisions. Yes, there's a longer story that goes with it, maybe for another time. The world is full of well-meaning Christians who jump off roofs and then complain that God had paralyzed them. At this level, we are tempted to become the spoiled children of God, expecting that God will pick up all our messes, even if we spend the whole day watching TV. And who hasn't prayed, "Dear God, I know I didn't study, but help me get through this test." Yeah. I find this temptation all the time in my life. Let's take writing sermons as an example. I have this regular deadline of Sunday mornings when I need to get up and say something profound or say something. There are some weeks when every minute of the week is jammed with work and stress, with no day off in sight, and I have no clue how I am going to get a sermon written. The voice in my head may say, well, I have enough sermons now, I can go back and pull out an old one. Other times, the sermon seems to get written by miracle, which is most of the time. I'm tempted to get used to the idea that I always seem to get something down on paper. So if I have a week when there is not a lot going on, it's very tempting to take more time to relax, thinking it's okay. You know, God's not going to let me get up there and make a fool out of myself. Well, I'm here to tell you, he just might sometime, if only to teach me a lesson. I remember praying once, God, please help me be disciplined enough to get the sermon written tomorrow when I have the time. And as I quietly listened to God's answer, he said, I have provided the message. It is your job to have the discipline. Ooh, no mercy. This temptation wants to put the burden of life on God and not on us. If things don't work out, it's God's fault. If things do work out, then I must have done something right. God's not a puppet master controlling our lives, but as Luther says, we have free will to follow the words of grace. We read and hear to make our life full and meaningful. Our third and final temptation is, as the text reads, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. The devil wanted Jesus to worship him, and then all the kingdoms of the earth would be given to Jesus. But Jesus says we are to worship only God. It would be easy to discount the third temptation. I mean, how many of us hang out with people who worship the devil? But I do know people who get their priorities mixed up. I know I get my priorities mixed up. They worship things. They worship wealth or status or pride, and not God first through his Son, Jesus Christ. There is an order to life. Worship God, then all other things will fall into place. The same pastor who gave the story earlier said, it's like buttoning a shirt. If you get the top button right, all the others will fall into place. Today and every morning, when you get up and you make the sign of the cross, make the decision to start with the top button. Start with God first in your life, and everything else will fall into place. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.